Welcome to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays. Each week, we will present you with a brand new play written specifically for the podcast format, performed by a cast of talented actors. This week's podcast play is called Ugly Doctor Hospital by John Busser. Unless he learns to work with ordinary-looking doctors, new Dr. Vaughn will find himself in over his head because he's too handsome to practice medicine at Ugly Doctor Hospital. Ugly Doctor Hospital features the voice talents of Patrick Murphy, Nikki Lowney, Jack Levine, Jim Douglas, and Jake Lewis. Without any further ado, please enjoy Ugly Doctor Hospital by John Busser from Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays.
The following is brought to you by Mastic Ass, the chewable suppository.
Dr. Gaidabine, line six. Dr. Gaidabine, line six. Today's scheduled presentation, that burning sensation and what it could mean, has been postponed. Rescheduling will be announced as the results are back from the lab. Dr. Gaidabine, line four. Dr. Gaidabine, line four.
Did you finish your...
Ah, Dr. Schmeltz, there you are.
Oh, hello, Dr. Mundgen. Busy day here at an Ugly Doctor Hospital, isn't it?
To say the least.
Where's the new man we hired? I thought he was supposed to be here at 9 sharp.
Not a very promising start, is it?
He certainly get a good talking to from me. You could bet on that.
I expected more from you than just a good talking to, Doctor.
Best I can do under these circumstances, being a radio play and all.
I hear you. And speaking of hearing, what is that loud ticking sound I'm hearing?
My watch. I just put my wrist up to your ear. I'm surprised you didn't see me.
I couldn't have seen you, Doctor, this being a radio play and all.
I'm not sure this writer understands the way a radio play works, but that's not important right now. We're going to be hip deep in blood and guts if this new doctor doesn't show up here soon.
Are you sure of that, Dr. Schmeltz?
It's a war zone out there, Claudia. Just listen while I open the front door.
Sounds ugly out there, Doctor. I guess that's why we're here.
Someone has to do it, although not everyone feels that way.
Perhaps our new man thinks this is one of those hospitals where it's acceptable to stroll in and practice medicine whenever they want.
What kind of hospital would we be if everyone could just stroll in whenever they wanted?
Not UDH, that's for sure.
Damn right, Doctor. Damn right.
Hell is that heavenly noise?
And who's that just strolling in?
Doctors, please forgive my lateness. I'm your new doctor, Vaughn. Are you Dr. Schmeltz, the head of UDH?
Good God, man, you're late. Lives are at stake here, you know.
Couldn't be helped, I'm afraid. I was busy saving a life and needed to transfuse my own blood into a patient until he could be stabilized.
Your own blood, Doctor?
I'm a universal donor, Doctor. I authorized myself to perform the procedure.
And?
Luckily, she'll pull through.
She? You originally said it was a he.
Very good, Doctor. You know your anatomy. It was a he at the outset, but gender reassignment surgery is a tricky beast. The physician assisting me let an errant scalpel fly at the wrong moment, and well, the aorta was severed.
The aorta? Why, that's the most important vessel in the entire circulatory system.
Don't I know it? The patient lost quite a bit of blood. I sprang into action by quickly rearranging my schedule for the morning before stripping down for an emergency transfusion.
There's no stripping required for a transfusion. Surely you know that, Doctor.
With such a quick grasp of the situation, you must be Chief Surgeon Mungin. I'd shake hands, but no one would see it, this being a radio play and all.
Yes, you're right. And yes, I am.
Then you know of the importance of sterilization.
Of course we do, new doctor. Why do you ask?
Oh, my scrubs were covered with the blood of at least three people at this point.
Three people? My God, man. Why three?
The scalpel. I told you it let fly at the wrong moment. The patient and two others fell victim.
What two others?
My assistant and the guy who puts the patients to sleep. Poor bastards were carved up like turkeys.
But not you?
No, never me. I was never in any danger.
Too good looking, I suppose.
Oh, it's the cross I must bear, I'm afraid.
And how are the others?
I couldn't save them.
How awful.
Yes, I'm not a fan of that organ music myself.
Well, new Dr. Vaughan, you couldn't have come at a more opportune time. We just heard of a huge accident involving a steamship down by the docks colliding with an elementary school. Injuries should start pouring in any time now.
Oh, seems odd that a steamship could collide with a school. Are you sure, Doctor?
Pretty sure. There were only the two sound effects we could afford. Listen, as I open the door.
You're right. I've arrived just in time.
But what can you do, new Dr. Vaughan? We're used to this sort of thing here. You're not.
What do you mean, Dr. Mungin?
She's right, my boy. You're much too handsome to practice real medicine here.
This is terrible.
I agree. Don't we have any better music?
Isn't there anything we can do, Dr. Schmaltz?
I'm sorry, Claire. Better music just wasn't in the budget. And now, just when we need a good, but very average to unsightly looking physician, we get someone totally unprepared to do anything other than cost an overworked, underpaid nursing staff to swoon.
Don't be ridiculous, Schmelz. No one is swooning here.
Oh, what a dreamboat.
Okay, one swooner. And who are you, nurse person?
This is nurse person Carlo.
But you can call me Nurse Carlo Doctor.
Your name is Carlo Doctor?
No, it's Nurse Carlo Doctor.
Your first name is Nurse?
No, and my last name isn't Doctor either.
There's a comma I'm missing there somewhere, isn't there?
Yes, we're having lots of problems with this writer.
Nurse Carlo, what brings you into this scene?
Doctor?
Yes.
Before I swooned, I was coming to tell you we're all out of blood.
Now, see there, the music fits.
Well, lucky for us, Nurse Carlo, I hear we've a bunch of injured people coming in. We'll get all the blood we need from them. And some are children, so it should be fresh.
That's not how we do things here at UDH, Doctor.
Besides, some of them may need that blood.
I hadn't considered that, Claire.
Did you just call me Claire?
I did. In the heat of the moment, I'm afraid my passion for medicine made me use the sexy part of your name.
Oh, what a dreamboat.
Clench yourself, Dr. Mungin.
I am.
I mean, get a hold of yourself, Doctor. This is an emergency.
You sure we don't have any blood to spare?
Dr. Gatabine, line 7. Dr. Gatabine, line 7. Attention! There are reports of a staff outbreak on the fourth floor. It is not known which member of the staff is responsible for the staff infection. Please contact your primary care physician for treatment. Also, we are all out of blood. Dr. Gatabine, line 2. Dr. Gatabine, line 2.
Well, there's your answer, Dr. Mungin.
Listen, do you hear that?
As soon as the sound effect kicks in, we will.
There it is.
Must be the first of the injured from that tragic sound effect of the steamship hitting the school.
You're right, new Dr. Vaughn.
Dr. Schmeltz, should I call other hospitals for more blood?
No time, nurse person. Besides, I don't think the writer added another hospital.
You know, that's kind of growing on me.
We'll have to start taking donations quickly.
Oh, I can make some posters and maybe set up a Facebook fundraiser.
No, damn it. I mean blood donations. Here's Carl. Start typing and cross-matching everyone on the staff immediately.
We can't. Half the staff, half staff.
Half the staff? Don't make me laugh.
Yes, I made a graph of the half staff with the staff.
That's some gap, allowing half the staff to get the staff.
Ow, my calf. I have a cramp. Sorry.
Look, even if that's impossible, being a radio play and all. The first injured are here.
Let me see him. I'm better looking. It'll make it easier for everyone else to look this way. As impossible as that would be, this being a radio.
A radio play. Yeah, we get it. Just do something.
All right, new Dr. Vaughn. It's your move. But if you're wrong, you'll never look like you're practicing medicine again. You hear me?
But I'm chief surgeon around here. I have the skill and the mundane looks to actually treat this patient. New Dr. Vaughn couldn't possibly operate with those dreamy hands.
Not this time, Claire. I want to hear if the boy knows what he's doing.
But I didn't wear makeup or anything today. I'm more qualified.
Quiet. This hideously bandaged person is trying to talk. Yes, sir, and or miss. Can you speak? Oh, normally, I wouldn't ask. But people are trying to listen to this play, so it would help.
Interesting approach, new Dr. Vaughn.
I learned it at General Hospital, over on the other side of town.
Ah, where the good-looking go to die.
Not on my watch, or radio, or whatever the equivalent here is. I say again, sir and or miss, can you speak? Oh, fine. That's fine. You're going to be all right just as soon as we figure out which restroom you can use.
Would you allow me to consult, doctor?
I'll take all the help I can get, Schmeltz.
If you check the genitals, we can establish restroom privileges.
I'm familiar with this type of identification, Vaughn.
I'd welcome your advice, doctor. Wait, did you just use my first name?
I don't know. We never learned your full name. I hope it was.
Oh, it'll have to do. Right now, we've got a life to save.
What should I do, Dr. Dreamboat?
Bring me the latest pictures on the patient, a sterile IV, a bed to lay on, and a place to put my clothes.
Doctor, are you undressing here in the corridor in front of everybody?
It's where the patient is, Doctor. Oh, stand back. I don't have time to explain.
Let him go, Victor. I think I see where he's going with this.
You mean you wish you could see Dr. Mungin?
He sounds naked, doctors. No time to lose. Here's your IV, new Dr. Vaughn.
Since we don't have a good sound effect for you handing it to me, I'll have to take your word for it, Nurse Carlo.
Hang in there, patient.
Are you addressing the patient or telling the patient to be patient?
Does it matter? His or her life is on the line. It's up to Vaughn.
Did you just call me by my first name?
I wish the hell the writer would have made that clear.
Quick, while I'm naked on this bed, one of you, stick me now.
Here? In front of everyone, doctor?
He means with the IV, doctor.
Yes, of course. You're doing a blood transfusion.
Nurse Carlo, we need some sound effects here to show the transfusion is working.
I'll do my best, doctor.
My God, he's doing it. The sound effect is working. He's transfusing blood.
More sound effect, nurse. A stat.
Good, good, Dr. Mungin. Check the monitor. How's the pulse?
I'm sorry, Doctor. Our monitor sound effect isn't working.
Damn, budget cuts.
Is there anything you can do? I need to lay here and look good doing it.
I'll try, Doctor. Beep, 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 beep.
More suction.
More beeping.
Beep, beep.
My God, the patient. He or she is not breathing.
Don't worry, Doctor. We just got in sound effects that should help.
That's helping, Dr. Schmeltz. How's his or her pulse?
Beep. Beep. Pulse is quickening and steady, Doctor.
Patient is stable, Doctor. He or she will make it.
Nurse, remove the IV from the new doctor form.
I've removed it, Doctor.
Can I get some orange juice, Nurse? I'm a little woozy.
Sorry, Doctor. I used it all up for the transfusion sound.
We should remove the bandages from the patient's face. I imagine when he or she wakes, they'll need to use the restroom, and I'd like to direct them to the correct one.
Hold on, Schmeltz. I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why not? You saved the patient's life.
There's one thing I learned working on good-looking people, Doctor. If the face is bandaged, they're probably pretty hideous underneath.
You forget, Doctor. This is a radio play. It really won't matter.
You know what you're doing here, Vaughn. All right, nurse. Rip those bandages off.
That is fucked up.
Told you.
Nurse Carlo, take the patient to post-op. Do it quietly.
I'll have to, Doctor. We don't have a gurney wheel noise for this.
Well, doctors, we did good work in there. At least it sounded good.
I'll admit, Vaughn, I was skeptical at first. I mean, a handsome young doctor coming in to show us butterface docs with our medical degrees and really unsexy names, I was stunned.
Come on, doctors. Your names aren't that bad.
My name is Mungin. His is Schmeltz. Carlo is a man's name. Don't give us that crap.
I see what you mean.
But let me tell you, young man, I was mighty impressed by what I heard in there today. I think you've earned a place here.
Thank you, Dr. Schmeltz. I'll try to live up to the high standards and questionable hygiene of all the rest of you here at Ugly Doctor Hospital.
You do that, my boy. But in the meantime, if you're going to fit in here, you're going to have to start wearing your clothes a lot more often than you used to.
Let's not be hasty, Dr. Schmeltz.
No, Claudia. Victor's right. From now on, it's pants every day.
But it's a radio play. Who would know?
I almost forgot. Are there other patients due in any minute?
I doubt this writer even thought that far ahead, son. Believe me, the end of this scene is probably just a few lines away.
I'll take a look outside the door and see if there's any more activity. Nope. Looks like it's an easy day here at UDH.
Well, I suppose I'll go back to my office, wherever that is. And do whatever I do when I'm not standing here in front of the microphone. Good day, doctors.
Well, if he's not staying, then I'm not either. Meet you for coffee later, doctor?
I guess there's nothing more for me to do here but put my pants on and maybe listen to a closing announcement.
Dr. Gaitabine, line 3. Attention! Anyone finding our lost gurney wheeling sound, please return to the Foley department, stat. We can no longer transport patients without it. That is all. Dr. Gaitabine, line 1. Dr. Gaitabine, line 1.
Ugly Doctor Hospital was performed by Patrick Murphy as new Dr. Vaughn, Nikki Lowney as Nurse Mungin, Jack Levine as Dr. Schmeltz, Jake Lewis as Nurse Carlo, and Jim Douglas as the loudspeaker voice and the gurney patient. Now, here is an interview with playwright John Busser. All right, well, you have just heard Ugly Doctor Hospital by John Busser, And with me now is the playwright himself. And we are going to chat for a few minutes about not only the play that you just heard and I'm sure enjoyed, but a little bit more about the man behind it. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
So, John, I read your play, Ugly Doctor Hospital, when you submitted it to us in our kind of open call for original works. And, you know, I was just cracking up. You nailed the sense of humor that I really respond to. Was there a playwright or any playwrights or writers who you are kind of inspired by that might have led you to this type of writing, at least for this piece?
Well, funny enough, I hadn't written anything ever until about 2006. I had gone to a place at Cleveland Public Theater. They had this program in place called The Dark Room. And it was basically a writer's workshop where actors or audience members would come in and writers would bring new scripts. They would hand out copies to the scripts to the people in the audience who would go up on stage and do a cold reading of it. And I went there just to be a reader. And I would keep going back month after month. And I was having such a great time. I says, oh, I really want to try this. I want to try writing something. So there were a number of local playwrights. One in particular, Michael Sepesi, who writes some absolutely insane stuff. And I thought, boy, if I could even get a fraction of what he does on the page. And so I stayed with Dark Room through 2006. And then after a while, I started helping run it. So I've been running it for like close to 15 years now, co-running it.
Wow.
And there are people that bring scripts every month, and I try to bring a script every month. So I've written close to 80 short plays now.
Wow.
And one of the things I try and do is rather than just write the same sort of thing every time, because I write mostly comedies, I like to play with the form. When during the height of the pandemic, we were doing it over Zoom. So I was writing plays that would really take advantage of the format. I had been asked to do take part in a radio play. And I had so much fun doing it, I thought, oh, I have to try this. So that's where Ugly Doctor Hospital came from, was to do a radio play, but do it for Dark Room. Mm-hmm. And we did it over Zoom as a reading. And I like put together a lot of sound effects and music and all that to get ready to play. And I asked my actors to turn off their video so that the audience would only hear them. They wouldn't have to pay attention to what they were saying because they were trying to find them on the screen or whatever. And it really worked out well. I was super happy with it.
While I was reading it and even while we were rehearsing recording it, there was a lot of what felt to me like a Neil Simon sort of touch to it. There's kind of a little bit of slapstick, but also kind of the deadpan humor and the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, looking at the audience kind of thing. And so that was a lot of fun to play with, especially with the sound effects as well. So what I'm curious about is how do you feel about writing for Zoom or radio versus your feelings about writing for the traditional stage setting? Is one harder than the other? Do you enjoy one more than the other?
I just like the idea of exploring what you could do with the different formats, because I'd been writing for, you know, the stage for a number of years. And then once everything went to Zoom, I would see all the drawbacks to using Zoom as well as the good parts of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I would write things to take advantage of the form. For Zoom, I was doing things where that the whole changing of backgrounds, for example, mm-hmm. played into the plot of it. Or with the radio play, the idea that the playwright didn't understand how a radio play worked. And so that would go into the humor of the piece. And thanks for mentioning Neil Simon, because Neil Simon was a huge influence on me. And in fact, Neil Simon is what got me into doing theater in the first place. I'd always wanted to be in a production of The Odd Couple. And I got to fulfill that bucket list. I got to play Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Which that was a dream role for me.
That's a fun role. Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is obviously, as the audience just heard, a 10-ish minute play. Have you written full lengths, one acts, or do you mostly keep your writing to this 10 minute or so window?
The longest piece I've written was probably about a half hour long. I've stuck with the short plays because that's afforded me the most opportunity to play around with the form. Mm-hmm. I know when you do a longer piece, while there are absurd longer comedies, for the most part, comedies have to be very tightly constructed, especially when they're of length, because you don't want to overwhelm the audience, just joke.
Right.
You know, so much that they zone out after a while. You have to be very careful with the way you structure it. So while I've never pulled the trigger on a full length play, I've been sort of working some things, and hopefully soon I will. But I've just had too much fun doing the short pieces.
I gotcha. Sounds great. What's next for you? Are you a full-time writer, by the way? I probably should have asked you that right up front.
No, I actually have a day job. I work for a printing company.
Okay.
And I do the, you know, acting on the side. Mm-hmm. And then the writing as well. And I've been trying to balance all of that because, you know, obviously doing theater takes time because you've got to memorize and learn and, mm-hmm. and rehearse and all that. And so I've been trying to balance work and the writing and the acting. And so far, it's been working out. I mean, this year has been very light acting wise because, of course, right. Theater is just starting to come back. But
yeah, well, hey, I think that you're writing, even though I've only read Ugly Dr. Hospital, I would love to read more. And I'm sure the audience had a ball with it, as we all did while we were reading and recording it. So John, keep it up. I'm sure we'll see a lot of great things from you in the future. And thank you so much for letting us do your piece. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jake.
Well, that right there is John Busser, live from Cleveland. And thank you all once again for tuning in to this week's podcast play. If you have a play that you would like to be considered for an upcoming episode of Podcast Plays, please visit us at www.jakespearevtc.com/submit. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to be notified about the latest episodes as soon as they are available. We'll be back next week with another podcast play. Thanks for listening.